ready to go. Welcome in to Gwynn and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matthew Scravey. And indeed, we have a three-hour show ahead. You get to listen to the roundtable that took place earlier today at 5 o'clock. But meanwhile, gentlemen, how are you guys today?
Well, I have a feeling, Tony Gwynn Jr., that I am a little more relaxed than you are. For those who don't know, Tony is as busy as a one-armed paper hanger today. He is... I don't even know what a one-arm paper hanger is, but I've heard people say that before. Tony is efforting, and, you know, he's the commissioner of our fantasy football league. And tonight is our draft a little bit later in the evening. And that means every player in the league today has had at least one issue or one problem or two questions or couldn't find this or didn't know how to do that. And so I've been, you know, on the chat with you guys all day, just kind of following along as Tony's trying to get everybody situated for tonight.
I've resisted on many occasions responding because I didn't want to seem like
You know what? Yeah, you're trying to be nice about it, but yeah.
But some of it is comical. I mean,
it really is. It's like the ninth year we've done this thing, so come on.
I don't know that I actually had to do anything other than just let it sit for a minute before we eventually would get another text saying, never mind, I figured it out, and so you just kind of roll from there.
Well, Scraby had a good point. He said earlier to me, he said, you know, if I have a question about something and something online like that, I actually go online, go into the, you know, web page or site and try to figure it out.
I'm not Google.
It's always there.
I am not Google.
Yeah. And, so Scraby's upset at everybody else in the league already. And
no, I'm just saying
that he hasn't started yet. So.
Sam Levitt texted me.
Oh, boy, here we go.
During the roundtable.
He's taking aim at Sammy Levitt.
During the roundtable, what time's the draft? I'm like, you're on the text message, dude. Like, come on.
Hey, it's only Sammy's second year in the league. Cut him a little slack.
He didn't even know about the draft until yesterday.
Cut him a little slack. He's a busy guy. He's got sports updates to do. But yeah, I know Tony's busy, and I know you'll be much more relaxed, Tony, after we get done later on tonight. But it's a fun time of year. You know, you got the baseball pennant races, and now everybody's getting ready for football. And you got the, I thought about wearing a little Aztec for Life war paint today to the show, but I figured if the boys can't beat Stony Brook without me, you know, dressing up, we're going to have a problem. But it is the Aztec football opener tonight, college football swinging into gear. And so, you know, it's a lot of fun stuff going on. A lot of goodies.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Aztecs later this week. Stony Brook.
Stony Brook.
Is the... that is who the Aztecs will be
it's
taking
tonight.
On.
Do you know the mascot? Since you and Jesse do mascot things, do you know the mascot?
No, Stony Brook.
Nobody.
No.
Even Stony Brook has to check, check.
The Sea Wolves.
The Sea Wolves are streaking into town tonight.
A fake animal, it sounds like. All right, Sea Wolf.
A fake animal, yeah.
They just haven't discovered one yet, okay?
I know Tony's with me on this. We do want to extend our best to Sean Lewis in year number two. And
for sure.
I am upset. Honestly, I've been upset. Aztec, so-called Aztec fans, I think there are many who have, you know, are willing to give Sean Lewis some, you know, a year or two to try to get this thing up and rolling. And I think he deserves at least that. But it seemed like a lot of people have already kind of given up on the program after a 3-9 season. I don't think that's fair. I think if you're an Aztec fan, this team gave you 12 straight years, or the program gave you 12 straight years of a bowl game and gave you some pretty good football and some pretty good players and, you know, lots of great games. And so let's give Sean Lewis a chance. Support the guy. Go out and, you know, try to root this team on. There's no reason that in year two, maybe they'll be a whole lot better. You don't know in college football anymore.
I guess we need to break this one real quick.
We need a sounder.
Football Talk on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. The saga has come to an end. Micah Parsons, no longer a Cowboy. He'll be putting on the green and gold. The cheeseheads out there are celebrating as Micah Parsons gets traded to the Packers.
Wow.
Yowzers.
That's big time, Tony.
In conference.
I got to be honest with you. We're pretty quick with this news, and I want to make sure it's real.
I'm looking at Adam Schefter.
Okay, good, because I'm on ESPN, who Adam Schefter works for, and it's not even on their website yet.
He's not on there yet, huh?
Yeah, I'm a little concerned, but if Adam Schefter says it must be.
It says they've already come to an agreement with him,
nope,
too.
I just saw it come across my ESPN deadline thing.
All right, well.
Yeah, 4 years, $188 million is the agreement the Packers
came to. So he'll get a bunch of money.
We
don't know yet who the Packers had to give, or probably a fifth-round pick. Probably that's the old standard in the National Football League.
Give me one of the two.
Yeah, we'll give you two. We'll give you one this year and one next year. Give us one of the great players in the history of the game. Okay, perfect. So we'll see what the trade entails.
That's wild.
Yeah. Jerry Jones said he had made that big offer. At least that was the word. You know, Jerry said that it was a 5-year, $40 million per year extension, which would have made him the highest paid non-quarterback in football. And Jerry, at least, you know, according to what, if you can believe Jerry, said Micah Parsons' team turned that all down. And Jerry said he wasn't making any more offers, and apparently he didn't. I think it is kind of interesting to me that it's the Packers. It makes me think of many years ago when the Chargers had a great, great wide receiver in the Fouts era named John Jefferson. This guy was, I'm telling you, he was with the Winslow teams, Tony, and this guy made acrobatic catches all over the field. He was ahead of his time, and every year he came in for a contract extension, or wanted to renegotiate. And on about the third or fourth straight year that he wanted to renegotiate, the owner said, just trade him to Green Bay. I do not want to hear from him ever again. Send him to Siberia. And they did. They traded John Jefferson to Green Bay, and he pretty much disappeared up there. And his career, you know, petered out. But I don't think that's the same here. I mean, Green Bay is a viable club, you know? So I don't think Jerry Jones is trying to make any point here. Just assuming this is the best package he felt he could get. Whatever it
Jerry's
is.
Jerry's tripping. Jerry's tripping. Jerry's doing right there. I'm just saying, like, first of all, I don't. There's nothing that we've seen from the Cowboys that would tell us that Jerry's being honest with us in terms of how this whole negotiation
went
down.
Like, true that.
I get the sense he tried to negotiate without an agent, and when the agent got involved, he balked at it. And because of that, he was willing to get rid of Micah Parsons in the end. And that is insane to me. It really is. I wonder, I would love to hear any word on yet on what they got back for it.
Nothing yet. It does say that $120 million of it is fully guaranteed. And Parsons is indeed now the highest paid non-quarterback.
Hey, $47 million
in history. Yeah.
The Packers just got really good.
If they weren't already.
Yeah, I mean, Love is an up-and-coming quarterback. I think he's going to get better this year. I think they got some weapons there. Now you put this maniac on the outside, and he's going after.
And he's got something to prove, right? He wants to show Jerry and the world that Jerry blew it by letting him go. So he's going to be highly motivated. Yeah,
that's a big time move, right? Right before the season gets ready.
It changes a lot of things. I mean, already the NFC North last year was certainly considered one of the top divisions in football. Three teams made the playoffs. Yeah. Lions were. You know, until they, you know, ran into that, Washington game. The Lions were the best team in the NFC. The Vikings were 14-3 until they came out to L.A. and had a bad game. And the Packers were in the playoffs as well. And now you still got the Bears with Caleb Williams and now Ben Johnson going over there. And now you add Micah Parsons to that division. Woo.
Yeah,
tough.
Yeah, so, I mean, we were going to talk Padres to start this deal, but this was pretty big news coming down.
Yeah, for sure.
So we had to pivot, but We're definitely going to get into some Padre talk. Kirk Kenny joins us a little bit later on in the show. As I said, you got the round table coming.
Hi, welcome to it. And show opening with a bombshell today. Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan, 217. That kind of news is why you should be on time to the program. We get underway at 2 o'clock. If you did just happen to tune in, probably the biggest news in the National Football League that you're going to get this offseason and maybe for a while, Micah Parsons has been traded.
Here you go.
From the Dallas Cowboys to the Green Bay Packers. And Scraby has the haul that is going back to the Cowboys. The Packers did have to give up, along with a $188 million contract, 4 years, quite a bit to get him.
Packers had to pay for him this time. You know, we always see these big-name players get traded for, like, 2 fifth-round picks and, a bag of peanuts or something. But he was actually traded for 2 first-round picks and defensive tackle Kenny Clark. So they got 3 things in return for the one.
But the Cowboys are going to – I'll be honest with you. The Cowboys – I mean, we're talking about the Packers for a second. You know, they look like now the Lions, the Vikings, if the Vikings can get something out of a rookie quarterback to
that
keep up.
That division is crazy, by the way.
And we got – right, and Caleb with the Bears. So that division is going to be good. I'll be honest with you. The Cowboys are in there with the Giants. And I mean, they're not as good as the Commanders and the Eagles already. And now with this, could the Cowboys even get, like, threatened by the Giants at the bottom of the division? I think they could, be honest with you. I don't know how good Dallas is going to be.
I think their offense is going to be prolific with the 2 wideouts.
Yeah, they do have Pickens and CeeDee Lamb.
Pickens and CeeDee Lamb. I think they're going to sling it, but I think they're going to have to sling it because I don't know that that defense, the thing it struggled with last year was being able to stop the run. They were getting gouged by the run game. I don't know that they really addressed this year. Certainly, you would think losing Micah Parsons doesn't help the situation anymore.
No.
So, you know, we'll see. This is an interesting move by the Dallas Cowboys. They do get 2 first-round picks. So, I mean, maybe in a couple of years, or depending on when those picks are, I'm assuming one's next season, you're going to be able to address, you know, and get that deep, try to find another, you know, defensive player that can make that type of difference. But that's a year away. In terms of this year, I don't know how they got better. I mean, I don't know anything about the Kent Clark cat. I mean, he might be the reason to stop the – he's a defensive tackle, if I'm not mistaken. So he might be the answer they have to stopping the run game this year. But we're going to find out shortly.
Hopefully he's the next Reggie White as far as the Cowboys are concerned. All right, so that's the big news. This hour, 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by Islands Restaurants. Man, did we have a great time there a couple of weeks ago. Summer refreshment, paradise, ambiance, and the best burgers in town. I'll back that up. Like the Big Wave with cheese and fresh-cut fries, they are the best. $10 for all of that, now for a limited time only. Visit one of our Islands restaurants throughout Southern California today. Dine in only for that package of food, which Scraby and I demolished a couple of weeks ago.
Totally did.
Can't go wrong at Islands.
Not with that burger and the fries.
I had the protein bowl, which was very good too. What?
Listen to you trying to be Mr. Healthy over here.
I did. I had the you could watch me eat it on the stream.
As I was munching the Big Wave burger.
Yeah, I looked at Chris and I was like, ha, 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 ha.
Skinny Chrisello here.
Skinny, but bulking up Chrisello here.
No. Padres did lose the series to the Mariners. 4-3 the final. I think there was... you know, a bunch of different ways we can go here. You know, I think people might be overreacting a little to Darvish and saying, well, he had another bad start. He made a bad pitch. I mean, he's got to keep away from the 3-run homer. That has hurt him in each of those, you know, the Dodger game and now yesterday. The bullpen kept you in the game once again. And you're going up against a pitcher who had been shutting everybody down the entire year. You got him out of the game. You got within 2 runs and had a chance to tie. Then you got within one run and had a chance to tie. So, to me, you know, get on the plane and go to Minnesota. I mean, that's pretty much it, Tony. I think the disappointment, maybe, if there is any, is the fact that the Reds picked a hell of a time to be swept for the first time all year. Come on, Reds, can you? I mean, all year they hadn't been swept, and they go to L.A. and they get punked there. So, you know, the Padres are two games back. But I didn't have big problems with the Seattle series. I'd like to win them all, of course, but yeah, it's a good team up there, Tony.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a really good team. And Padres' first team to get Brian Wu out of there before six innings.
He had
that consecutive streak. They did some good things offensively against a really top-tier pitcher. Had one of his bad ones. And I wouldn't even say it was bad. He, as you said, he made a couple mistakes, and those mistakes happened to have come, you know, after, you know, some runners are on base. And, you know, he ended up only having the one walk. But outside of that, he threw the ball pretty decent. He's having the kind of good start, bad start, in terms of the runs he's given up. You know, his previous start against the Dodgers, he was like old Yu Darvish we've all seen. And then he started out that way, it seemed, against the Mariners, and then made a couple mistakes. And so, yeah, that Mariners team is a good team, no doubt. Offensively, they are a much different team. That series went nothing like anybody expected it to go. The offenses were on it. And so, turn the page, get ready for Minnesota Twins, who, you know, have basically sold off all their players at the deadline. And, you know, aren't necessarily playing the greatest baseball. So you got a chance to maybe take advantage of that.
Yeah, Padres have been punishing the poor teams all year, and hopefully they'll keep that up here. Not only this week, weekend, I should say, against Minnesota, but the Padres basically have a run now of teams that are under 500, right? They get Minnesota, they get Baltimore coming in here, they get Colorado. Yeah, and then they'll actually have Colorado seven times in a 10-day stretch with the Reds in between at home. So, you know, I don't think they look at it like that. We do as fans. Oh, this is a big group of games. You can win a bunch of these. You know, they just got to go out and, you know, take care of it tomorrow night. Cortez will be on the mound coming off his best start of the year. Pivetta on Saturday. And let's see. Jackson Merrill hopefully back this weekend. The Sunday... By the way, the Sunday game, if anybody wants to look ahead, it's a 10 a.m. Roku game Sunday morning. Going to get everybody in a bad mood with that, because none of us can watch the game unless we, you know, can figure out the Roku world.
Well, considering how long it took you to tweet a link today, I think you're in trouble. So
you're just always looking for a shot.
I wish I had the recording of Chris. He was like, "Nah! I can't select the whole thing."
It was a disaster. But I got it out there, and we'll tell you.
You did.
We'll tell you what that's all about here as we go along, because we got our NFL Eliminator pool is out, and get everybody signed up for that. But, yeah, that's coming up this weekend, the Roku game on Sunday morning in Minnesota. I was pleased with one thing, Tony, in this series.
What you got?
And I think, you know, because I've been – I don't know that I've been critical – maybe I have. Fernando, you know, not really hitting the ball with the kind of authority that we've seen. And we've talked about the new Fernando and the other Fernando. And, you know, he has been doing a lot of things well. And I said, you know, I still need to want, I want some more slug. Well, I got it in this series. I got home runs. I got doubles off the wall. I got flyouts to the warning track, which I hadn't really been seeing for a while. And, you know, I don't think we're going to lose the old Fernando or the new Fernando, the one that, you know, is getting walks and taking some pitches. I just like to see him put a hurting on some baseballs, Tony. I think he probably liked it, too.
I would say it's funny how one home run can change the perspective.
No, I didn't say one home run. I said he doubled off the wall. He flied out to the warning track. I hadn't seen those things either. I'm taking more than one swing into account.
He's definitely had his doubles. That was how he was keeping his slugging up, but he hadn't had the homer. But either way, he swung the bat good during the course of that series. He certainly swung it with more authority, and the results were good. You know, he's on base. He's still getting his walks. I'm sure the homer for him was a mental kind of like relaxation a little bit, because I'm sure he's been hearing it or at least feeling the kind of pressure in terms of finally getting a homer. But I thought the Padres swung the bat. It wasn't just Toddy. I thought everybody, really outside of Manny, swung the bat great. And even Manny, he still ended up with three or four hits in that series. So, yeah, the offense wasn't the issue in this particular series.
And that usually is never the case, right?
No, no.
Usually when they score, they win. So
the offense has been good. They've just, what, two games in this series that they scored four or more and ended up
they went 1-1. Yeah, well, they got 16 runs. They got 16 runs against a pretty good team on the road in a tough place to hit.
Yeah.
You'd like to believe they win 2 out of 3 instead of lose 2 out of 3, but it just didn't work out this time. You know, I thought you know, David Morgan picked a bad time for maybe his only, really the only bad outing I can think of this year. That was in the first game, and you know, Jason Adam, you know, God, I hate to blame the guy for giving up a home run to a guy that has 42 home runs. I mean, Eugenio Suarez can hit home runs. And, you know, Jason Adam was the victim of one, but the Padres came back and won that game. And so all in all, again, if the Reds would have cooperated and we didn't fall two games back, it wouldn't seem such a big deal, I say.
Anybody can get got. At the major league level, even Jason Adam occasionally can get got. And, you know, Suarez has been struggling prior to that series. He got himself going. You got to give him some credit as well.
For sure, we will do that. I don't know if anybody noticed it. A glaring omission from that Padre chat was the fact that Arise didn't bat second yesterday, and Laureano did. And there's a big story in the paper about all that again today, Tony. So, but I personally am tired of talking
I
really am.
That wasn't an omission. We can get into it when we return.
Oh, we'll
get to it.
I'm just not really ready for it yet. I have to kind of get, geared up for another Arise discussion. So, yeah, we will definitely get to one. But the Aztecs football opener tonight at Snapdragon Stadium. Kirk Kenny, our guy on the scene, has the latest. He also has a date for this year's Holiday Bowl, and it's not going to be played this year. We'll explain when Gwynn and Chris returns.
2:36 on the clock, 4:36 here in Minneapolis. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matthew Scraby, talking some Padres. Biz talking Micah Parsons getting dealt for a couple of first-rounders. That seems about the right type of
seemed like a fair return like on the
fair, yeah, right return is what
on
I was
the investment
looking for.
There, yeah, Parsons goes to the Pack, and we'll see. Does that? I mean, I think in the minds of a lot of people, that's going to make the Packers like put them up there with the Eagles and the Lions in the NFC.
Team, for sure.
So, I mean, they were in the playoffs already last year, and now you add this guy, so. That's a big deal, certainly. Dodgers are off. Padres are off. So we don't need to worry about anything in regards to the race in the West. Well, Dodgers I think the Dodgers have Arizona this weekend while the Padres are there in Minneapolis. How is I've not ever been to Minneapolis, Tony. Go ahead.
Real
you
quick.
Have something?
Yes, the Diamondbacks took down the Brew Crew today.
Yeah, they're playing okay.
And in wild card conversation, remember Padres right now chasing the top wild card as well to be able to host a series. Chicago's tied with the Giants 3-3 right now in the eighth. Chicago's a team ahead of the Padres right now.
They're a game and a half up on us at the moment for
the first wild card.
Yes, so a little help from the Giants would be appreciated there. Diamondbacks, you know, they're playing okay. You know, started, by the way, today in Milwaukee for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Starting pitcher, old friend Tony Gwynn Jr.
Yep.
name old popping Fred. Out of nowhere.
Yeah, one of
we
our favorite Friday guys of all time.
One of our favorite Padres. Always with a smile on his face. Always excited.
Oh, Nabil.
So happy to be here. Matt. Nabil Chrismat get the call today in Milwaukee and beat the Brewers. So there you go.
Nice job, Nabil.
Nabil Chrismat. It's fun when guys like that kind of reappear, you know? I don't know where he was toiling, but he's back. And he was toiling.
He was toiling
somewhere. Now he's back in the big league. So good for him. Yes, Diamondbacks at Dodgers this weekend, while the Padres are in Minneapolis. What is? Are you right by the Mississippi River there? Are you on the St. Paul side, the Minneapolis side, or do you even know any of that geography?
I'm assuming I'm on the Minneapolis side. Okay. Like I see U.S. Bank Stadium. I see what else? I don't see anything else actually.
A snowdrift.
I don't see anything else left over
from the winter.
I know the Target Center is like right down the street.
Okay.
Which I'm going to head to after we get done to the show.
Going
to
enjoy a little Target Center action. By the way, while we wait for Kirk Kenny, speaking of Kenny, how was your visit with Brian Kenny? We played a little of it on the show yesterday. You handled it.
It was cool.
You handled it with class and aplomb. I want to congratulate you. Being as he's, you know, the world's biggest Tony Gwynn senior fan, and you were good. So I good
he,
by you.
He definitely was very complimentary of Jesse and I's broadcast.
Ah, smart.
And I also have to remember I'm still a representative of the Padres. So when I get asked to do these things, I have to put my
best foot forward.
Radio, I have to put my radio mindset, radio host mindset to the side.
Yeah.
And I have another job to do, and that's represent the Padres in the best way I can.
He did ask Tony about a rise, and we're going to talk a rise, you and I. But he asked you about a rise and whether a rise hits the ball too often. And maybe that is why his batting average is down this year. I thought that was a fun question that only an analytics nerd could come up with. But
I think he was thinking, I think what he was trying to say was, should he try to hit for more power is what I think he was ultimately trying to say. But we'll get into that a little bit later. I think Kirk Kenny
is here.
Is ready for us. Hello,
hey.
Kirk.
Man,
it's been a little bit of time. How are you, my friend?
Hey, gentlemen. How's it going? It's a little bit of wet weather up here in the North County.
Yeah, what is up,
really?
Kirk? I mean, you would have thought the Aztecs would order up a little better weather for the opener tonight, but
well, some fans have been complaining that there's no canopies for shade. I guess today they'll complain there's no canopies.
No kidding, Kirk. You are so on it, man. We are such a complaining society, probably led by us on the radio. But yeah, you're right. There's no shade, and now tonight you'll need the cover maybe for rain.
Well, I always joke that every day of a game day, I put what the temperature is going to be, and if it's a night game, I put all the seats will be in shade. And immediately somebody put out a question on, would it be worthwhile having canopies? And I tweeted back a guy with a big, Brock umbrella hat, and I said, I think this would be a lot cheaper way to go.
Wear one of those umbrella hats, yeah.
Kirk, let me ask you, obviously Aztecs in action tonight. What's the feel around camp? What's the feel going into this first game?
The team's been very positive and optimistic. They've done a lot of intensive work at trying to build a better bond than they had last year when the staff came in a little bit late for recruiting-wise and building a team. And so I've just seen a lot of positive energy come out of that. And then also just looking at various positions, I think the quarterback position's upgraded. I think the wide receiver position is upgraded. They've got three really good running backs, and the offensive line looks stronger than last year, and they've got almost everybody back from the starting defense. So it bodes pretty well.
Kirk is with us. The Aztecs opening tonight. Would it be 6:30 or 7 o'clock for the kick, Kirk? I want to make sure I give people the right time out there.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock for the kick tonight out at where do you think Sean Lewis is? Let's just kind of on a personal and then working with the team. Where do you think he is from? Let's say last year's opening day against Texas A&M, whoever.
Commerce.
Right. Yeah. Texas A&M. Whoever. and tonight. Where do you think he's grown, or you know, where would you put him?
I think, well, for one, I think he comes into this with a lot more confidence. That's just the sense I've gotten.
Right.
I think, you know, the trip around the block last year was eye-opening for him in several ways. They just didn't perform the way he would have expected, and especially second half of the season, they lost six straight games, and I think he was just really stunned by that. That's why I think it had him going back and reflecting what they could have done better and where they've really made an emphasis on creating a stronger connection within the team.
Kirk, obviously, you know, it was a kind of a mixed bag. I don't really know what the identity of the team was offensively last year. What in year two, what is it that we should expect to see from an offensive standpoint in terms of the identity?
I think they'll be pretty balanced. I would hope they'll be more explosive. You know, a lot of this is just from watching practice. You just see guys that look like they can be playmakers. Now it's going to be translating that to the real game when the bell goes off. So they've got, you know, another year under the system that Sean Lewis runs. So I think all of that put together should be a more efficient offense. One thing that really held them back last year is from the get-go, their opening game, they made 16 penalties.
I was going to ask about that, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of bothered them throughout the season. They ended up finishing, I think, second to only New Mexico for most penalized average per game.
So what do you do if you're a coach? I mean, I can't imagine there's a coach anywhere, you know, from Pop Warner all the way up to the NFL that doesn't tell his team, you know, let's not commit any penalties, right?
Well, he made them run laps, so I'm sure that will correct it.
Oh, my God. They ran a lot of laps then. They ran laps. My goodness.
They're very well conditioned.
No kidding, man. They should be able to be good in the fourth quarter. Yeah, the penalties was a – I think it was frustrating for the fans and I'm sure for them last year. All right, get us a little more in tune with our quarterback, the new guy. From Michigan, he played in the national championship team, you know, said all the right things. Looks like he's, you know, going to be a guy that's, as you said, an upgrade. Just give us a little more on who we're rooting for and a couple playmakers on offense that we can get behind, Kirk.
So the new quarterback's Jaden Dennegal. Definitely looks the part. He's 6'5", 230.
Wow.
Very mobile in the pocket, can make some things happen with his legs. But first thing everybody says is just he has a very strong arm. We'll see tonight how accurate that arm is. But seems to really command the offense, and everybody's, you know, been very positive and feels like it's an upgrade at the position after having true freshman Danny O'Neill there last year. As far as some playmakers, the big name coming back among the receivers is Jordan Napier, who had a big breakout true freshman year. He had 44 catches last year and 4 touchdowns, so he's the first one. Then they have a couple transfers, a guy named Miles Kit Denton, who's a speedy guy who can get open deep, and then another one, Donovan Brown, who has similar attributes.
Kirk, what can you tell us about the Pac-12? It seems like there's been at least some type of movement happening here in terms of television rights. Have they got any closer to completing this conference yet?
They're definitely getting closer and closer. It was key to get Texas State involved because they needed to have an eighth team for football. We'll still see. I think that'll probably be that's it for the first year as far as membership for football. They did add another network for their TV rights. When people keep saying Pac-12, I'm still not convinced that it's going to be all that as far as, you know, the prestige factor. We'll end up seeing in a few months, I guess, what their TV package produces for each team. I think people should kind of temper their expectations a little bit going into next year. But I don't know what the Essex could have done if they stay in the Mountain West. I think they kind of know what they're getting with that. And the best thing I can say for where they're going is I think it positions them for 5 years from now for maybe having an even better opportunity. But we'll just have to see how that plays out.
Anything with the Holiday Bowl? I wanted to ask you. I liked your. Yes, I know. I liked your lead in your story today. This year's Holiday Bowl will not be played this year. Tell us a little bit about what went into that decision by the folks there, Mark Neville and company, to have the game after the New Year's this year.
Well, probably more than a dozen of the games are owned by ESPN, so they really control the calendar for most of the bowl games. The Holiday Bowl is one of the rare bowl games that's on Fox. So Fox took its time kind of finding the best spot that it wanted to play the game, and January 2nd was the day that they settled on, which I think will be a pretty good date. As Mark Neville brought up with me, their typical has been between Christmas and New Year's, and it seems like it's problematic a lot of times. The last several years, it's been either on the 27th or the 28th, and so especially for fans, you have issues with travel around Christmas. And this will get rid of some of that. People will still be off because of the New Year's holiday, and it's on a Friday, so I think it bodes well for being better attended by both local fans and those who are out of town.
Well, Kirk, guys, as always, man, we appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us. Aztecs in action tonight, 7 p.m., and hopefully this is a step in the right direction for the program. Kirk, appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Kirk Kenny, Union Tribune, breaking down some of the Aztecs football squad as we get ready for a new season there, Chris.
Kirk is my guy, and, you know, he does a great job for the Aztecs. I'm going to keep saying what I say until people start to come around to the Aztecs football a little bit. I really believe they've given us a ton of great football for a while, and I think a lot of people kind of I feel like there's a lot of, you know, disharmony. I don't know if that's even quite
disharmony.
Yeah, just people aren't, you know, ecstatic about this, and yeah, I don't think it's fair. I think you got to give Sean Lewis a year, and let's see what we can do this year. And I think he can do some things.
I think they're like two different things. I think there's definitely a segment of folks out there that are like, Sean Lewis needs to get it done in year two,
right,
or else.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Which is crazy. That doesn't make any sense. And then the other thing that you talk about in terms of people being unsatisfied with the program in itself, it has given us a lot. But, you know, in today's society, it is a very much like Janet Jackson said, what have you done for me lately? and that's how everybody tends to operate. I don't know that there are as many patient folks as you and I there, Chris, in terms of kind of letting the program, you know, kind of take its time, not take its time, but take a normal amount of time to at least be able to assess if things are going in the right direction. And so, I think that's his kind of problem. I think it also, you know, I think the heavy prices at Snapdragon also play a
yes.
part in
yeah.
some of the folks feeling a little
it's fair.
A little irritated.
It's fair, and the Aztecs, I think, have heard it, and, you know, I don't know that they've responded to it in a way that a lot of fans feel is you know.
Just being
right.
real. I mean, that's yeah. that is. I think that plays a part in some of the feelings towards the program a little bit.
Yeah, I think I don't think you're wrong. I mean, I've heard from people, and I don't have the numbers to back this up, but I have people that have kids that play in SEC schools and go to the games on the weekends and tell me that the tickets they get in the SEC are right in par with what the Aztecs are charging. Now, I don't know that the Aztecs can say that they fairly match up with the SEC in terms of, you know, the product. That's not their fault.
Yeah.
It's just what it is, what it is.
Right.
So,
right.
You're right. A lot of people are thinking those ways, Tony. I think it's fair.
It certainly feels like it. It certainly feels like it. Did you guys see Dion's idea for NFL style playoff bonuses for these players?
Yes,
in
the
in
big
college.
Five.
You see that, Scraby?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, let me shut up. Sorry.
No, I mean, I think he has a good idea. I do.
Corey Seager had an appendectomy.
That's too bad.
There you go.
That sucks. By the way,
doesn't sound too fun.
I've not experienced it myself. I remember when I was younger, my mom's brother was staying with his burst, at the house. He was in like crazy pain. We had to get him to the hospital. It was crazy.
That is crazy. I can't imagine having that thing burst in like a house and
It's all bad. Does it feel like college football should be starting right now? I am like blown away listening to like all of the breakdown of college football and how it's happening this weekend.
It's late August.
I mean, tonight, really.
Yeah, it's late August. Used to be a September thing, for sure. I'm excited about the game Saturday. Obviously, I think everybody is, but they're excited for different reasons than I am, and you are, Tony. And because everybody's going to tune in to watch Arch Manning. This is the biggest deal in college football. You think there's never no other player in the entire country. But he's the team they're playing, Ohio State, is quarterbacked by our guy, Julian Sayin.
Yeah.
So I'm really rooting for him to, he could make a huge name for himself in his very first game. Because people are going to be tuning in to watch the one guy. And maybe Julian can steal the spotlight. That'd be something.
National spotlight should be
for sure.
It's gonna be crazy. It's gonna be crazy for sure. All right, let's get the break on the other side. A little Daily Gambit coming your way. More Gwen and Chris on the other side.
Woo-hoo.
I said that already.